Greetings, friends. Welcome to Expressions from the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. We are blessed to have serving as our pastor, serving us faithfully for the past 47 years, Dr. Ephraim Williams. As we celebrate our 71st church anniversary, we are bringing you some classic sermons from Dr. Williams dating back to the late 80s and early 90s. So kick back, relax, and enjoy a powerful word from the Lord.
may not go. But I am sure of this one thing, that God is real, for I can feel Him deep within. Oh yes, God is real. Since that day, ever since that hour, my God has been real, for I can feel His holy power. I tell you, yes, God is real. God is real, for He has washed and made me whole. For His love for me, oh, it's just like pure gold. I tell you that my God is real. Him in my soul. Oh, yes, God is real. Oh, He's real, my soul.
Someone is parking in the space where they parked a van, driving a Toyota. Its license plate is 2EMUI20. It's red. We need you to move it because of the van. Thank you. Will you turn to your bulletin in the back of it? Brother Moore, would you lead us in this Psalm? It says, Jesus, or rather, since Jesus came into my heart, it's in your bulletin. Let us stand. The only way we can sing that song is Jesus really came into our heart.
Jesus came into my heart.
Standing. Before you decide to do this, take a look around you. Just take a look around and see if you see somebody in here that the year's almost gone that you don't like. You don't have to tell them. If you don't like them, you know it. And go over and hug them and tell them how much you love them and you'll be praying for them. Look around. See somebody you don't like. There are people you don't like. Whether it's their ways or their attitudes or you're jealous or whatever it is. Okay, then if you see somebody you like, greet somebody. Better now. We have the victory. Today we wish to share with you for a few moments what it is called from the Bible, Guides to Lifestyle Evangelism. Because Christmas is upon us, if I was a foreigner and entered into this Western hemisphere, or into the city of Sacramento or the state of California, it would tell me that some kind of celebration is going on.
Yeah.
The coloring of lights, the lostness of people who are wandering to and fro and cannot find themselves, for the honking of horns, people trying to run over each other, for what I saw yesterday, the pulling and pushing in the shopping center, will tell me that something different is going on. But Christmas ought to be for us a lifestyle of evangelism. It ought to be a daily, hourly, moment by moment testimony that not only is something going on, but we know what is going on. The emphasis today, a couple of days ago in watching a football game, one of the persons in the grandstand asked a question as they were leaving the game and it was over. We had a day and an hour of celebration. Our team just walked all over them. They were shouting, jumping, laughing, and drinking beer. And yet, in spite of national television, they was happy because they knew who they was representing. So the believer in Christ is asked by God that our way of life must be a lifestyle of sharing and caring. Now, I know that some people, when you talk about sharing and caring, that turns them off. Some people, they want to share, and they definitely don't care. Why should the believer share, and why should he, and that's he and she, why should they care? I could stand here this morning and be standing here next year in December and would not finish. Why? We should care. First of all, we ought to care because it was God who allowed us to be here today. Second, we could be at home with a hangover and hanging over. And God has delivered us from hanging. Some people, when I've heard people say, "Pastor, you shouldn't. You think people in church they have a problem with when you talk about they used to drink?" Well, I wasn't called to them drinking, so I can't worry about if you drank and been delivered. You ought to be thanking the Lord.
Amen.
God does not deal with what we used to do. He deals with what we are doing now.
Amen.
And so, my friends, if I walk and I talk and if our Christmas wrappings and our Christian testimony is not a life of evangelism, then we are off in our gifts.
Amen.
Evangelism is designed to bring people in reality to God. It is to make people... It is our task to help reconcile those who have been alienated by the commonwealth of Satan.
Yes.
We are to give them hope and life.
Right.
Somebody said, "Well, I can't save nobody." That sounds good, but you have the opportunity to bring them into the light, and the Holy Spirit does the conviction and the saving.
Yes.
But if we don't bring them into the light, they may not ever get there. I don't think many of us are aware that we are the cause of some people not being saved. For they'll say, "If the God you serve can't do no more for you than he's doing, I don't want him."
And I'm not talking about cars and money, and I'm not talking about clothes. I'm talking about I walk with him. They must see that on a daily basis. Now, when you look at this situation here about lifestyle evangelism, and I would have to move swiftly here, the guidelines are from the Bible. First of all, lifestyle evangelism involves sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with people who do not know him. Then the other side of that is, they do not know him as Lord. They don't know him as Savior by living a Christian life which will attract the lost persons to attention. Now, many people in church know him by his name, which is Jesus and Christ. They can quote that, and they can dissect it, and they can analyze it. They can tell you anything about the name of Jesus and Christ and what it means. But they do not understand him as Lord of their life.
All right.
And he said in Revelation, I am either Lord of all or not Lord at all. I would rather wake up in the morning knowing Christ than to go to bed at night owning America. For if I own America, I might end up like Russia, fall apart when they said it'll never happen. If we keep up with the signs of the time, if Russia with all of her gashing teeth has fallen apart, don't be comfortable in America. If you know anything about the times and the history of Rome, if you know anything about it, you can see America slipping slowly but surely. And we who are not in Christ, we have no hope for tomorrow. But my friends, if you understand the sharing and the caring, it was God on the backside of eternity. Looked down and saw us lost, and he came from the backside of eternity because he really cared. That's my hope today. And so then we must bring forth some kind of understanding why we are here, why we are celebrating, and what our responsibility in celebrating. There are those who would enter your household during the holiday season. What would you greet them with or by? Would you tell them I was not able to get the gift that I expected? Or I was not able to buy the one that I wanted to give? Or would you share with them, I'm grateful that you're here. Thanks for stopping by. God has been kind to us. I went yesterday for an hour and a half downtown and around the river route and saw for myself hundreds of people have no place to stay. And just because they show them on television as white, don't you fool yourself. I saw yesterday just as many of us. In fact, I saw some people that I used to know were turning their nose up at me and the church. And my friend, they are down there now with no place to sleep. And just because we have our carpet on our floor and our air conditioning in our house and our heat on our wall and our electric blanket on our bed, don't be comfortable, because the same thing happened to them can happen to us. Do is to be grateful. Lord, remember those who are less fortunate than we are, because it could have been us. And all those people down there are not bad people. Circumstances has caught up with them. And don't allow yourself to be fooled. Circumstances might catch up with us. Woman with four children, no place to live. And I said, you have a husband? He walked off and left. He wasn't a husband, but I used that because it was being a certain amount of dignity. Any man that has four kids and walk off and leave them, the definition of a man does not belong to him. If he can't stay there, he ought to send himself back there.
What do you mean by that, preacher? I mean, if you can't stay at home, pay your way when you left. I hope that somebody resurrects some laws that we cannot allow ourselves to just drift and our kids to swing hanging loose somewhere. Now, lifestyle, the reason we need to have a lifestyle during this time of the year, for everybody, hangs loose during Christmas. People will drink Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. They won't drink no more for the whole year. And they have this stuff about, I got to have just a nip for the holidays. You ought to be nipping on your knees talking about, Lord, thank you that I don't have to nip. I have a blessed Christmas that I don't drink eggnog no more unless we make it at home, because I understand it is tampered with. I don't drink eggnog in the store no more, because if it's got alcohol in it, what happened is that when the eggnog wears off and somebody meets you and they smell alcohol, don't tell them those are cough drops. So we have to be cautious. Then the reason we need, the Bible said, witnessing is a personal discipline for every Christian. Evangelism is a ministry to which some Christians are called, for which they are gifted, and in which they serve Christ and his church they are in tune with. This ministry is exercised in different forms, such as lifestyle relationships, church outreach, and small groups, church services inside and outside. Anybody can be a good Christian inside. But what happens when we get outside? There is a saying that I grew up with. My father used to tell us, when we go out, he'll say, with something we would do, he said, that's not outdoor behavior. When he said that, you got an attention. He meant that there's some things out here you don't do. That's the wrong behavior for you to act like that out here. Well, if we got a behavior in church, then we don't have to mechanic one outside. It just comes to be automatic. Anything you have to mechanic is false. It's just we ought to just be a witness for him during this season. Our lifestyle ought to just be what we are. Because, my friend, it is incountable upon us that God holds us accountable during these times of seasons. And if you don't think so, that means you don't know the Bible. But, Reverend, I just got to have a little fun once a year. Well, I'll give you some good examples. You can have fun all the year and yet doesn't have to do anything that is contrary to the will of the Almighty God. That's fun, that's power, that's joy, that's hope. Just to look out to see you got somebody to raise up to. To be able to sleep all night long and broke, you got something going for you. Oh my God, today. And then it says here that lifestyle evangelism involves sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with people who do not know him. Now, if you say you know him and nobody knows it but you, it's a contradiction to the scripture. Nobody can know Christ. I don't care who they are. And nobody know it but them. Let me prove what I'm saying. They had one man who saw the pressures of life and the struggles and saw Jesus being overtaken and saw Jesus hanging on a cross. And later on, they ran up on him. And they said, oh, there's one of them. He was warmed by somebody else's fire. A lot of us, we are warmed by mother's prayers. But I hate to tell you all, but your mother's prayers, in some instances, stop when you get to be an adult. Don't you think God going to let you hang on mother's prayer all your life and you do your own thing? That's not going to happen. So what happened to him, to this man? He didn't want nobody to know. He's in a strange area. Nobody knew I'm a Christian, so I can do anything I want to do. And he was warming by somebody's fire. But because God had been in him and on him, the little lady came out and said, oh, there's one of them.
No, I'm not one of them. He did like some Baptists start cussing. No, I'm not one of them. Don't you accuse me of being one of them. But you see, your lifestyle, if it's in you, portrays who you are. I was on a plane some time ago, and a man was a man bought a drink, and he's not a drinker. I saw the lady when she gave it to him, and maybe you've seen that. Men and women that know how to drink will never reach for a drink that's handed to them on a flying plane with their left hand, unless they're left-handed.
Amen.
You used to drink. You all know that. If waitress bring you a drink, you didn't reach up there unless you were left-handed, because you wanted to be sophisticated. You reach out with this, let it, and catch it. And then you drink it, sip it. He wasn't an alcoholic. He wasn't a drinker. He was getting away, took it with his left hand, and he took it, and he drank it, and he took it, exchanged hand, and he looked in it, and he drank it again, he looked in it. You don't, people that really know how to drink don't look at what you're looking for. It's the same thing in the same glass. The point I'm getting to was, he was doing something that he was not used to doing. Then at the end of it, he spilled on him. He went around asking the lady to have a hot towel, wet hot towel. He wanted to get the old out. And she said, I'll get you a towel. But when he got through, it still was on him.
Yes,
that's what happened to you. Your lifestyle goes with you wherever you go. And that's real life. And so the book says then, we who are in Christ, Christians who share that testimony by their life, they lead. My friends have experienced Christ as Savior of their lives and wish for others to have that same experience. They make an intentional effort to live out Christ's grace and love before a lost world. Number one, the characteristics of lifestyle evangelism include an experimental knowledge of Jesus Christ as Savior. The disciples knew Jesus for forgiving personal sins and a constant delivering from the power of sin. That Jesus is invited to and allowed to rule as master of life forever. Now, Christ is a weak God. He has no power at all. If he can forgive us for our sins and cannot give us power to overcome our sins.
Amen.
Let me repeat. If he only can forgive us for our sins and does not have the power to give us to overcome them, he's a weak Christ. If the Bible says at Calvary, we got to take a good look at God. At Calvary, the reason, one of the, outside of saving us to go to heaven, the other thing happened at Calvary is that Christ broke the power of sin. What I'm saying to you, Satan used to almost make us do things prior to that, but now Christ broke that power, and Satan has no power over the believer except the power we give him.
Right.
You can't let nobody fool you that Satan can make you do nothing. And first of all, Satan is a scared cat. If you charge him with the Bible, he'll run off and leave you. What did Jesus say? Let me prove what I'm saying here. Because you're in a world, you got to prove everything. Look at here, Jesus. If you're hungry, you don't have nowhere to lay your head, you don't have no house to live in, if you bow down to me, I'll give you the kingdom. You see how stupid Satan was? He has a man own all the kingdoms. Satan didn't even know that. If you only knew or analyzed what you already had, you wouldn't worry too much about what you don't have.
Amen.
You have more than what you don't have.
Amen.
Let me repeat that again. Whatever you don't have, what you have supersedes what you don't have. Oh my God, today. Just to know I walk with Jesus, it says to me, it puts me in a position that what I don't have, I can get it.
Yes.
You watch like I did. You watch the trial. of the Kennedy clan. It wasn't just the one boy, it was the clan. You watched the trial, and they said he had the best lawyer that money could buy. But my friends, whether he's guilty or not guilty, that's not for me to say. But what I do know, if he's guilty, he's still guilty before God.
That's good.
So what happens to us, we don't have to have the best lawyer because we don't have no money to employ him. But we got the lawyer of lawyers. I tell you, he's never lost a case. And I know I'm right here because he went before governors and kings and priests. But when he got through, what did the Bible say? Not them, but him said, all power rests in my hand. I hold the card of this world in the palm of my own hand. And nobody can change that. And look what he says, Ephraim. And he says, since you're saved and part of my kingdom, devils in hell on earth, wherever, can't take you out of my hand. I've got more than I'll ever have in my life. That's the word. Then the next we have, not only experimental knowledge of Jesus Christ as Savior, but we also have, number two, as our lifestyle, a submission to God. That's a problem with people. To submit. I have a problem. I have a problem submitting. No. Well, you know what's the problem? It's no problem to submit to God. If God is in charge of you, you just automatically. It's no said, oh, I have to submit to this. No. Just comes natural. I live on 11th Avenue and nobody have to tell me go home at night. And don't you tell nobody, I told you, those of you that have husband and wives, wherever you live, you mix it home at some reasonable time. You stretch it a little bit every now and then, but you don't stretch it too far because you won't be there. And you single folks, don't look at these married folks. You single folks who are dating, you stretch it a little far, but you don't go too far because you don't want to lose what you already have. But my friend, if that's so important to us in this world, then how about submitting to God because of who he is? Amen. And then the next submission is to live is Christ. Philippians 1:21, Galatians 2:25. People, we who are Christians, we don't have to have folks to talk about living. When you have some of your cousins and your brothers and your sisters talk about, I'm living, I'm doing all right. If they're not in Christ, you ought to correct them. No, you're not living. You are existing on things. My nephew was a professor at Northwestern University at 23. And he messed up. And I told him, I said, you will definitely mess up. Don't say that, Ephraim. I said, no. First of all, you have graduated from college and you've gone to grad school and you're smart. You're so smart until you look at other folks and you think they don't understand. I said, people like you who is that smart, they outsmart themselves.
That's right.
Second year, he calls me long distance, says, crying. I said, what happened? What's the problem? He said, you predicted my doom. I said, your ignorance predicted your doom. That's what predicted your doom. You thought you could fly on degrees and mount up with the signature. But I'm here to tell you where you came from if you forget that. I don't care what you... He came out of a home that they bowed on that knee praying for him to get through. As soon as he got it, he left God. And my friends, America is sick today. The more the Lord bless us, the more we don't need him. Don't you all ever think that you're going to write God out when he gives you everything you have? You can't write him out. He sees before you ever get there. Well, Reverend, that's why I'm not joining no church, Reverend. You're not hurting God by not joining his church. Oh, he said, if you reject me, I'll reject you. But the day will come. And not coming today, it's now. In Washington this week, I heard the man said they had people who was there in middle class who talking about cutting taxes. You heard it. They said, we have now before us the real people. The real people. I thought to myself, if they're real, they're not talking to real people. Real people are those who is in Christ. Anybody outside of Christ is half. They're not whole. I know we like to believe that. And well as I love my nephew, he got everything together, but he lost as a butterfly flying a jet plane. The brother is lost. Finally said this year, I see how lost I've been. I don't care what you own, where you live, what you have, what you're doing, who you are, where you come from, what family you're a member of, except you know Christ. You are half of a person. But you don't know me. You don't know where I came from. Yes, I do. You came from the trash pile and you're going back to it unless you accept Jesus. See, I've been on the trash pile. I know what it means. I know what it means for God to come along and lift me off the trash pile. I know what it means for him to renew my mind and renew my spirit. I know what it means to come from the trash pile. But a whole lot of folks are still in it and don't know what it means. So then, my friends, not only should we submit to God by allowing the Holy God to act through human personality, the lifestyle evangelism seeks to be holy as God is holy. And we just despise that word, being holy as God is holy. I'm not ready to be holy. Well, God didn't call you to get ready. He called you that he might get you ready. And if you are not holy, you are not in him. If you are not holy, you are not in him. Reverend, we're not holy, we're Baptists. So don't say I'm holy, Reverend. Yes, I'm holy and a Baptist. And I didn't get holy last night. I've been holy for years. I'm just getting more and more holy because I'm not asking for more Jesus. I'm giving Jesus more of Ephraim. You can't ever get more of Jesus. When you got saved, that's all of Jesus you're going to get. But after you're saved, he ought to be getting more and more of you. I want more. I hear people praying, Lord, I want more of you. No, not so. He can't keep giving you some of him. You either have him or you don't. And then, my friends, the next is the demonstration of sanctification has to do with lifestyle. That's us. Salvation, sanctification, holiness implies that the inward life, known totally only to God, can be clean. As a lifestyle evangelism or evangelist, you must submit all of your life to Jesus. All of your life to Jesus. But Reverend, I'm not quite ready to submit it all. Well, if he doesn't have it all, he doesn't have any. How can I submit? I hear you say, how can I submit my total life to him? I'm glad you asked that question. All you have to do is that as you read his word, and the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart, and you ask the Holy Spirit what direction you should be going. Don't make your own way and then fall and say to him, Lord, what happened? He's just like this. The Holy Spirit is just, he's in you, coming and going. The Holy Spirit is coming. He's not somewhere sleeping you. He's coming and going. He's waiting for you to listen to his direction. And if most of us in this church this morning, if we would have listened to him years ago, we wouldn't be where we are now. We wouldn't be where we are. And if America would have listened to him If you study this week of the celebration of the Bill of Rights, it is nowhere in the First Amendment that church and state is separated. That's Lincoln's speech. They took Lincoln over the Constitution. But you can see, Lincoln has fallen and the Constitution is being torn apart. He who is not in me is against me. Then I close on this note. That's why we ought to praise God. For we are a demonstration of what Christmas is all about. We are a living Christmas tree that lights up and shines every day. And my friend, the Christmas tree in your house, if your lights go out, you have no lights on your tree. But because you are the light of the world, your light shines all the time. Well, then why should I praise the Lord? God's character is worthy of praise. Praise is our gift of the scripture to God. Look what Deuteronomy 10:21 says. He is thy praise. He's my praise, says David. He is my praise. And he is thou God, which he is my God, that has done for thee those grand and teachable things which thine eyes have seen. All around us, everywhere, you see the power of God, the hand of God, the movement of God. We can't deny that. Everywhere you move, you see God. And you said, I don't have anything to praise him for. Everywhere you move, you see him. Just look around you. He's available. But then our lifestyle for the holiday season must be our testimony to who he is. You can do that. You will celebrate Christmas in style that you have never did it before. Amen. Father God, we followed your direction. Yes. We pray again that your word would move throughout this congregation. And may we become an example to you in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. If you're here this morning, let us stand. One thing I know, that after the word goes forth, the Holy Spirit moves in our hearts. Will you listen to him today while he's moving to your heart? Will you say yes to him? While the Holy Spirit is moving in your heart, would you just say yes to him? You wish to become a member of this church, take these chairs in front of me. If you're here this morning, will you come? Oh, yes. Will that be one? And? Will that be one who say yes to him? Will you say yes to him today? God bless you. Will that be another one? Will that be another one? Will that be another one? Jesus. Will that be another one? Say yes to him this morning. He's the only one that can help us. Will that be another one? Say yes to him this morning. And will that be another one? Another one say yes to him. Oh, yes. That be another one say yes to him. Oh,
Did we not hear a powerful message this morning? Church, say amen. There may be a better preacher, expositor on the West Coast, but I don't know of any. Do you?
Amen.
Oh, come on here. Say amen.
Amen.
Today we have a privilege, really, to celebrate this man's birthday.
Amen.
Are we happy about it?
Amen.
Now, you were asked on last week to bring a special little gift with you. Now some people say it's the thought that counts, but that's true only to a point. But sometimes we can't read your thoughts. So I'm gonna start out this morning with a gift offering of $10. And we need every man to either match this or better it. Oh, okay. They wanted to either, you can put it in the offering in your envelope and write on the bottom. That's what the instructions were last week. Write it on the bottom, you know, pastor. Put the amount for the pastor in the envelope.
Right.
Is that right? Okay. Or you can just, you know, put it separate in a separate envelope. However way you want to do it, but just do it, okay?
Amen.
And then we'll be marvelously blessed. Today is our pastor's birthday, and we're happy to help him celebrate. Let's give him a matter of fact, let us why don't we sing happy birthday at this time? Amen. Everybody stand. Let's stand and sing. To you.